Hey, everybody, it's the Context Machine. Welcome to it. I'm getting better at this. This is episode 615 of That Context Machine. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet, and I'm just going to come right out and say, bless your heart, Brian. Bless your heart. Bless. And if anyone else wants to bless Brian's heart, you can do that at contextmachine.io.
You can, in fact. You can also find it. You can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, which I kind of really am just iterating what Jeff said using different words. But you can also find us on post, mostly pedantic. You can find us on post.news and Mastodon at contextmachine.
Yeah, and thank you for joining us today. Our bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for you.
You always do that.
And it doesn't stop being funny.
You say that. There's a fellow, the reason why my voice sounded like I was turned away from the microphone is because my voice was turned away from the microphone.
Oh, okay. That explains a lot.
And I did find it. Excellent. So there's this fella. Am I sounding okay now?
Yes. Yeah, sure.
I'm going to share this with you. Let's stick a link. This is just one. There's this fella on the Instagram. I'm sure he's on the TikTok too. His name is Landon Talks, and he explains the South in his series of reels and TikToks. And he is in one of them. The one I just sent you, he is discussing the sort of realities of visiting someone else in the South and what it means to visit, and you know what you're expected to do as the host and what you're expected to do as the visitor. You know, like, and a big part of this particular one is you're going to eat, so don't fight it. You're gonna eat.
Yeah, that's a given. Yeah.
And so anyway, I find him I think his delivery is hilarious. It's his explanations are fantastic, but they're also understandable. I think he does an excellent job of contextualizing Southernisms, such as bless your heart. He definitely did one on bless your heart once upon a time. So anyway, Landon Talks. I see him on Instagram. I'm assuming he's on TikTok. I don't really care. Are you up for putting the link into the show notes?
Whatever. Yes, I'll make sure the link is in the show notes. No problem. And I'm looking forward to watching the Instagram video when we're done. When I say watching, I mean watching it with the audio on, unlike what I'm doing now, where I'm watching it with the audio off and just reading the superscript titles.
Yes.
Because they're actually above him. So yes. They're not subtitles.
Yes, they are superscript titles. My older sister, when I showed my family this, you know, we're all from the South. My mom was born and raised in Georgia. She was raised in Waco. I was born in Houston, raised in Denton. Spent a lot of my... I used to say... And it was true when I said it, that I spent most of my adulthood in Austin. That's not true anymore. I spent most of my adulthood out here in California.
Wow.
That's how long I've been here. But regardless.
That's a long time.
It is a long, 22 years I've been out here, man.
Wow.
Yeah. Kind of crazy. Anyway, my older sister said he has better hair than I do. And I'm going to be honest with you. He has better hair than most of us.
He has really nice hair.
Most people. His hair is pretty glorious. All right. So anyway, yeah. Landon Talks, very funny guy, very knowledgeable, very good at contextualizing. You know, because that's the thing. Like there was a Southern comic, an Asian American fella with a country accent. So, you know, that was... Definitely.
I know who you're talking about. I have seen some of his bits probably on Instagram.
Very funny guy.
Yeah, super funny. And he totally gets how to do great spins on stereotypes.
Yes. And one of his bits that I saw years and years and years ago was on the phrase, bless your heart. And that fella is very funny, and he's very good at being funny. Landon Talks is very, very good at contextualizing a lot of things that I would imagine most Southerners take for granted about their own culture. Right.
Yeah, that seems totally reasonable.
Let alone making it make sense for those of us who are outside. So, and I say this as someone who has actually been both inside and outside, and I feel like I think he does a great job of this stuff. It's very, 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 very entertaining, very educational, and funny too.
I'll make sure there's a link to that Instagram video in the show notes.
Great. Lucky us. Lucky us. Speaking of PSAs for people, Jeff.
Brian.
We were doing our show prep, and I got an alert, and you basically said, bless your heart, to me.
Yeah. All right. So the context for this is that you got an alert on your iPhone telling you that exposure notifications have been turned off on your phone.
Oh, you actually, funny enough, I open up Instagram and there's your post with a screenshot of that notification sitting there,
yeah,
like at the top of my feed.
The people, that is genuinely coincidence, because I posted the thing on Instagram
3 hours ago.
Hours ago.
Yeah, 3 hours ago. Before I mentioned it to you.
Yes, before you mentioned
it. Did you see my like come through just now? Do you have those turned on?
No, I've turned off all notifications on Instagram.
Oh, I see.
Because there's nothing happening on Instagram that's important enough that I need to have an alert for anything.
Fair. Regardless, we can include a link to that in the show notes in case you haven't somehow seen this notification.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, we will do that too. Yeah. So here's the deal. And everyone, I did not explain this to Brian before the show beyond saying, bless your heart. So Brian, here's the deal. I'm assuming you had already seen the news that the federal government in the United States was ending their current emergency level status for the COVID-19 pandemic as of May 11th.
No.
So, okay. Well, bless your heart. And now you're up to speed on that.
Excellent. That's what the show is for, is to get me up to date.
It's just to get Brian up to speed on everything.
Yeah.
That's what we do here. And then everyone else is along for the ride to either say, wow, I didn't know, thank you for sharing, or bless your heart. So with all of the things that ended with the status change for the federal government, that means that stuff like your free at-home COVID tests, they're not free anymore. You may end up having to start paying for vaccinations, and there's a lot of things that went along with that. One of those things was that the various states that have been participating in the COVID trace and track system that you could get for your iPhone or your Android phone, they shut those down on the 11th as well. Now, what happened was a lot of people started getting the notifications on the 11th on their phone, letting them know that their state had shut off the service. And then others of us started getting the notification today.
Yeah, I got mine today.
And I got mine today as well. But I was chatting with a friend yesterday, and she got her notification while we were chatting. So it's just kind of rolling out in phases, I suppose, when people are actually getting the notifications. So that's why you're seeing that. Some people are assuming that Apple has turned this off, or that Google has turned this off. That's not the case. This is your state pulling out of the track and trace system, which disables the feature on your device. So it's your state, not your phone maker.
That makes sense. So what do I need to do?
Nothing. Well, I mean, as far as that goes, there's nothing that you need to do.
Okay, listen. If I was asking that at a meta level, we do not have enough time to list all of the things I realize that,
which is why I stopped and then couched my response in a very specific way.
Mostly pedantic, but necessary.
Yes. Now, as far as what you choose to do to protect yourself or respond in however way you feel is appropriate to COVID-19, that's up to you. But the state has turned off your track and trace notifications.
That makes sense. And it makes sense as to why it's happening now. Let's hope we don't have a new wave of something, but yeah, that's another issue. There's nothing to be I don't think there's anything to be concerned about here. And again, to iterate what Jeff was saying, there's also nothing you need to do. It's been done. It's been done. It's done. Yeah, it's done been eaten. It's already been consumed.
Oh,
it's,
I thought you meant like a small done.
No, it is done. New word et et for
like e apostrophe t.
Essentially yes, but it's usually just spelled et.
I know, which is weird. Why would they do that?
Yeah, why would you do the apostrophe? Mostly pedantic, but why wouldn't you use the apostrophe to signify the missing letter of A?
I know. Yeah. I brought that up specifically because when you spelled it without bringing up the fact that there's an apostrophe in there, I figured you weren't really thinking about that. So it was my duty to put that in your head. So now you will stew over the fact that et is spelled et instead of e apostrophe t.
Well, except for the fact that it has essentially become its own word, hasn't it? In that context.
It has. And
so
does it need
the apostrophe?
To the en.
Does the eight ain't, excuse me, does the apostrophe and ain't, is that really necessary? I don't know.
Is the word even necessary?
Well, yeah, you know
I'm
what?
I'm not a fan of ain't.
Here's the thing, man. I am, in fact, a pedant, but I'm a pedant who has come to realize that many of the rules that I want to cling to were, in fact, arbitrary changes at one point in their history.
Yes, language is a very fluid and in some sense alive thing. It's always evolving.
And fast evolving is what language tends to be, and not just English, all the languages. Actually, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
That's the thing. I mean, that's why Latin is called a dead language, because it's not used regularly anywhere, so it isn't really changing.
Okay, so while I'm a pedant who like gets hung up on things, you know, like I do my darndest not to end a sentence with a preposition, which is probably one of the dumbest rules to be hung up on for a variety of reasons. We can talk about that another time. I'm a fan.
It is a thing that you don't need to be upset with.
About Ian, probably upset about. Anyway, I'm a fan of the Oxford comma, the serial comma.
Same,
but I'm a fan of it because to me it improves understanding. It's not. I don't cling to it as a pedant. I cling to it because it makes things better. Now, not all usages of Bill, Ted, and Tom, right? Not all strings of three things are confusing if you just say Bill, comma, Ted, and Tom versus Bill, comma, Ted, comma, and Tom. Mm-hmm. But there are times when it could be Ted and Tom, or it could be Ted and Tom. And when you end up stopping, taking time to suss out whether or not, you know, the salt and pepper has been, or cinnamon and sugar has been mixed, or if it's cinnamon and sugar. I mean, like if you're having to spend time figuring that out, using the Oxford comma fixes that.
Using the Oxford comma, it's the meme where they say, with the Oxford comma, we invited the strippers, JFK, and Stalin. Without the Oxford comma, we invited the strippers, JFK, and Stalin.
Why is that a good example? I'm missing something.
You're missing something. We invited the strippers, JFK, and Stalin.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes. Yes, that is that in fact is an excellent example. That is an excellent example. By the way, they put on a great show.
Oh, they do. I mean, I've never seen anyone spin tassels like that.
Right. Okay. So, I am a pedant. I am an acknowledged pedant who gets unnecessarily hung up on some rules, especially dealing with grammar. But I am also one who has come to understand that there are aspects of language that do change, and most of the time they're actually better. You ask me, do we even need the word ain't? And I would say that the word ain't is very useful. It is a really? Useful, it is a useful word.
Huh.
Do you disagree?
Yeah, I do. It's an unnecessary word. And at the same time, I appreciate that language is evolving all the time, and words that may be necessary today, 50 years from now, won't be, and words that we consider frivolous or unnecessary now or in the past have validity currently.
Why? But I asked you if it was useful, and you said it was unnecessary. And that feels more like a defensive rote position rather than an actual argument. Like you were so dead set against this word that rather than actually addressing my question, which it's my statement, which is that it's useful. You're deflecting by falling back on your previously held, your already held belief that it's unnecessary. I ain't gonna do it.
Ah, see, that just hurts.
I get that, but break it down. That the word ain't there is obvious. It's understandable, and it's faster than saying I am not, or even I am not. I ain't gonna do it. You know exactly what I mean. I'm sorry. Sorry. No, I'm not saying that you should accept my argument. I'm saying that, you know, when I use those words, you know what those words mean.
I do know what those words mean. Part of the problem currently with ain't, which will very likely change continually over time, is that it has a negative connotation and is often seen as a word that's used by someone who is not intelligent, might be ignorant. And I'm not saying that people that use the word ain't are that. I'm just saying that's this negative connotation, the baggage that is coming along with that word.
Okay.
And I currently am having issues with that. And actually, now that I'm saying that, it reminds me of this wonderful 5 episode documentary on Netflix, and it's the history of swear words, and it's hosted by Nicolas Cage, and you absolutely need to watch this, Brian.
I'm going
because
to.
it plays into what we've been saying here, and it looks at 5 different swear words, 1 per episode, and it looks at the history of the word. They try and, when possible, trace it back to its origin, and watching the evolution of specific words that are offensive today, or maybe aren't as offensive today, but were at various points in history, and seeing that evolution, it's absolutely fascinating. And so now I guess I better go find a link to the history of swear words on Netflix, so I can include that link. It's also done in a lighthearted way. So they interview a lot of comedians, because who better to interview about intricate use of swear words?
Mm-hmm. So that reminds me of, I feel like I've shared this anecdote on our show before. And if I have, and if anyone's hearing this again, I apologize. But it reminds me that on the show Deadwood, that was so famous for its extraordinary amounts of profanity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, profanity mixed in with all this flowery, almost Shakespearean English, because they were modeling their dialogue off of everything that we know about mid-late 19th century speech in America.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when they were first putting everything together, they were actually using profanity of the time. And
oh, interesting. Okay.
And rather than modern words like the F word, which, you know, I bet each episode had like, you know, 60 F words per episode.
Episode number 1 in the history of swear words is the F word.
Excellent. That's fantastic. And the problem is that word didn't actually exist during the time that Deadwood is depicted. But when they were using era appropriate words, it sounded like a joke because of Yosemite Sam. You know, frickin' frackin' and you know, like all the things that Yosemite Sam says, which actually was apparently fairly accurate profanity for the West. And because it had become this, you know, big joke through cartoons and similar usage, they went ahead and used modern swear words in Deadwood amidst all the rest of the period correct language.
Which, okay, that seems reasonable, considering they had to play to a modern audience. Also, the F word did exist.
When did it come into being, according to Nicolas Cage?
It's been around a very long time.
Huh.
Very long time.
Okay, well, then
you can watch the episode.
Apologies for making that wrong. Matter of fact, maybe I'll just edit that out and no one will know that I was so wrong.
I think this is a brilliant plan.
Here's one other thing about what you were starting to say about ain't.
Mm-hmm.
And without going too deep in this direction, a lot of pedantry and a lot of looking down at the way some people speak has been not only a tool of racism, it's also been a tool of classism. And that's
a really good point.
Yep. And that's another reason why I am trying to think differently about words like ain't, because I used to share your aversion to it for precisely the same reasons. And I look at it. It is to me a useful word. just like the F word is a useful word.
When you watch that first episode, you will have a new appreciation for how useful the F word is.
I already have a tremendous appreciation for how useful that word is.
And you will have even more appreciation.
I remember another linguist, as we've discussed recently, time does weird things to me and my memory. I think it was 10 years ago, could have been 15, could have been 20. I don't know, but it was some time ago. And it was a linguist, this you know, very white middle-class linguist talking about the word like. And he's making the argument that, no, this is actually great. The way kids are using this is rife with meaning. It's rich. And he's like walking through, I like him like, you know, and he's like saying all these things like a, you know, like a, you know, very middle-class adult. And he's, you know, but he's using all these at that time, teenage phrases. Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely hilarious, but it was also very poignant. Like the difference between, do you like him like, or I like him, or do you like him? Like those all have disparate meanings.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
And hearing that is like, wow, that absolutely made me think differently about that might have even been one of my maybe towards the beginning of my journey about, you know, sort of revisiting my pedantic predilections. Right.
Wow. That's a big statement.
And so anyway, yeah. If when language is being improved by something that's different, it's probably going to be valid. It probably should be perceived as valid at the very least. And now I know, Jeff, you.
You can accept my apology.
Wow! Wow!
I just have to concede and admit that you're right. I am being inappropriately resistant to the word ain't, and I can accept that while our language is always evolving and people are using new words or existing words in new ways.
New and different ways,
It does not mean that I am required to use a word if I am not inclined to do so.
100%. One last note on this. At least I think it's one last note. By the way, we didn't plan on talking about this.
No, we've already done a half hour show so far on language, basically.
Right. And we weren't planning it at all. We hadn't even mentioned it pre-show. But one last thing, there's this particular phrase from a song, I think it's from the 20s, and I believe it's an African-American song from the 20s. But the phrase is you is or is you ain't going to do something, going to take me to the dance.
Is you is or is you ain't my baby.
Thank you. And
it's a wonderful song.
That line in particular is just poetry. Is you is or is you ain't. It is poetry. Now, it is unnecessarily complex. You could say the same thing in simpler terms. But is you is or is you ain't. It is so beautiful to me. It is so... That was probably also part of the beginning of my rethinking of my pedantic ways.
It's
so beautiful.
This underscores how complicated humans can be. Because here I've been saying ain't isn't a necessary word, and then...
But you like it there. And I know that you like it there because you and I have talked about that before.
Is you is or is you ain't my baby? I mean, that is straight up poetry right there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the whole song is just a magical piece of music. And yes, just the wordplay is just so spot on, and it just flows, and it absolutely works. Yeah. Well, now I need to fire up Apple Music and go grab a link to Issue Ain't My Baby.
And include it.
And put it in our show notes. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, shall we get to the point of the show?
Did we just do the whole show?
Well, we are 30 minutes in. I kind of feel like this other topic that we should at least mention.
Touch on.
Yeah, it's timely, and I think it's probably, it's important.
Yeah. All right. Sure.
Okay.
If
you saw the title of the show, you already know, because it turns out that we write the titles after we actually put the show together. Who knew?
Oh, yeah, that's the thing.
But Apple announced this last week. We're recording this on Friday, May 12th. Is that right?
Today is Friday, May 12th. Yes, you are correct.
Both have to check. Good Lord.
I seriously just looked at a calendar.
I did too.
To make sure.
Yeah, I did too. I looked at my menu bar, actually. I've got iStat menus.
Same. Yeah. Fantastico.
Do you use iStat menus?
No.
What?
The reason I don't use it is because it's all this stuff that's up in the menu bar that I never looked at. So I finally just got rid of it.
Oh man, iStat menus
is great.
I
wasn't using it.
I look at the CPU monitor all the time. I also look at my memory usage all the time. Because right now, Safari is using 15.46 gigs of memory. So I'm going to have to restart Safari here. But because I use Safari, Firefox, and Google Chrome all the time for various activities, various work activities, and have a jillion tabs open, they all start gobbling up RAM and will eventually have problems. So I use iStat menus memory thing in the menu bar every day, multiple times a day. There are probably things that I don't need, like the temperature sensor. Not
sure.
I have an
M Series Mac, right? Yeah.
Yes. You don't
need the temperature sensor anymore.
No, I don't. And there's probably a couple of other things. What is this? There's I've got two different versions of the CPU monitor, so that's good. There's probably things I could get rid of, but the CPU monitor itself, I also use that to look at my uptime, which apparently is at 13 days and 22 hours. I should probably reboot my Mac.
You've missed a software update then, I think. You better check on that.
I am going to check on that now. And anyway, I love iStat menus. That's still not the point of the show, though.
I like iStat menus, too. So I just don't use it.
We are so ridiculous. But I use their calendar replacement. Yeah. I like the calendar replacement.
Okay. I can appreciate that, and I will continue to use Fantastico.
Also a fantastic piece of software.
Yes.
Not gonna badmouth Fantastico even the tiniest little bit. All right, so let's see here. Apple announced this week, we are recording this. recording this on Friday, May 12th. Jeff is going to include links to all these things that we've been talking about, that we've been throwing out willy-nilly. And Apple announced Logic Pro or Logic?
They announced Logic Pro and Final Cut Pro.
Are they calling it Logic Pro?
For the iPad. Yeah.
Well, I gotta close Landon Talks because he's still talking. On loop here. Let's see, where is... I know I've got these... Final Cut Pro and Logic Pro.
Final Cut Pro.
It turns out
Logic Pro.
That you're right. And they brought them to iPad.
I accept your apology.
Yes, you have it. They brought them to iPad. Which is which? You've talked about this several times on several other shows this week. Is that right?
Yeah. I've actually paid attention to the press release and read some articles about it.
Okay. Is that because
I'm totally being a passive aggressive jerk on that?
Well, I was going to ask if it was because you're a podcasting whore. With all respect to sex workers.
Yeah. You know what? Sex workers deserve equal rights and protection.
100%.
All right. So Final Cut Pro and Logic Pro. And yes, my podcast worker issues. Okay.
So Final Cut Pro for iPad is for iPad Pros with M2, not even M1.
M1.
Well, yeah, M1 as well. With live drawing, users can draw and write directly.
Live drawing is an M2 feature.
But this
is why you bring me along, so that you can toss something out and then I can say the thing that corrects it. And it sounds like you didn't know what you're talking about. And so it highlights and really drives home what that feature is.
Or it's a alternately, very clever tactic. I didn't know what I was talking about and you were there to save the day. It's little from column A, little
tomato,
from column B.
Tomato.
Yeah. But Logic Pro, which is the one I'm most interested in, is for iPad, not just iPad Pro.
Right. Yeah, I think you need the what is it? Yeah,
I've got the press release open.
The 12X. I cannot remember the processor, but it's like fourth generation.
Yeah, iPad. So it requires iPad Pro 12-inch. Excuse me. iPad Pro 11-inch, fourth generation or later, or
okay.
iPad Pro 12.9-inch, sixth generation or later, and Apple Pencil, second generation.
Okay.
By the way, Logic Pro is Apple's professional music mixing engineering software. It sort of competes with Pro Tools, which is the industry leader. But Pro Tools has a lot of components that are tied to hardware, and Pro Tools is often, quite frankly, like really difficult. Like you have to have dongles and things like that to make it work. Anyway, I've used them both. I much prefer Logic, but Logic, I think, probably works better for both my workflow and my brain than Pro Tools. Final Cut Pro, as people probably know, is Apple's pro video editing solution.
Okay. Yep. So you're up to speed.
Yep.
You've got the apps, right? Yeah.
I don't have them yet. For one thing, let's talk about the pricing.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because that's one of the most controversial aspects of this release.
It is. And I'll just come right up front and say, I'm totally cool with the pricing. And I think it's actually really smart. So these are being rolled out as subscription pricing. So $4.99 a month per app, or $49 a year per app.
With a 1 month free trial.
With 1 month free trial on each.
The second year. So you get 13 months for your first $49 and 12 months for your second $49.
Right.
And which is savings of $10, because it would be $60. Be 50, you
know, yes.
50, yes, 59 and most of another dollar if you paid for it by the month. Now, Final Cut Pro and Logic Pro on the Mac are currently not subscription based.
Right. So I am wondering if that is going to change. Which I think is part of the controversy for some people, because they really don't want to do a subscription.
No,
if they don't have to.
We don't want subscriptions. And we have talked years ago, we were saying how we didn't want to do subscriptions. And the reality is we have more and more software subscriptions. And the reality is that's probably saved a lot of those software products.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the idea of at the consumer level of doing subscriptions has met a lot of resistance. It's been the standard for business and enterprise level apps for decades and decades. And
Photoshop, Adobe has actually done a pretty good job of rolling out constant updates for Photoshop.
Right. And yes. And with that subscription model, it has allowed the company and other developers to maintain their software.
Right.
So yes, you're right. The subscription model has saved a lot of companies and products that otherwise would have just gone out of business because there wasn't enough revenue coming in.
Okay. Here is the thing. What is Final Cut Pro? They're both the same, $499 or $49?
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Yeah. Okay. I see that now. All right. At $499 per month, either one of these products is the same as Apple TV. Actually, what's Apple TV now? It's more than that, isn't it?
Apple TV, isn't it $6.99 a month now?
Sure, let's go with that. Are you checking? Are we both checking at the same time?
We're both checking, yeah. $6.99 a month.
Yeah, I see it.
After a 7-day free trial.
And it's fascinating to me that a piece of software, even a piece of software as good as Logic Pro is, and Logic Pro is really, really good. And GarageBand remains free on iPad and Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And GarageBand very much is a subset of Logic Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it is fascinating to me that one piece of software is going to cost me as much as Apple TV when it was introduced, or almost as Apple TV Plus is today. I said TV the first time, I meant TV Plus.
I knew what you meant.
But
I was letting you slide on your mostly pedantic part.
There is a much smaller user base for Logic Pro than there is for Apple TV Plus.
I suppose you could also make the argument that the cost for Apple is much higher for Apple TV Plus than it is for Logic Pro, because Apple TV Plus is funding multiple TV series and movies.
Billions a year. They're not spending billions. I mean, they're probably not spending, well, they could be spending millions developing Logic Pro. But between the team of, I would guess, and I'm so guessing here, it wouldn't surprise me if there weren't more than, there probably are not more than a handful of engineers working on Logic Pro. I could be wrong.
I would be surprised if you're wrong on that. Apple's modus operandi is to have relatively small teams working on software products.
Now, wasn't it like one person that was managing AppleScript forever?
Sal Segoian.
Yeah, one guy, one genius who made AppleScript a thing. And with Apple TV Plus, you've got two people just at the top, you know, and they're paying many different development, what's the correct word? Studios.
Production.
Like, yeah, production studios and such. And, you know, not to mention the people who make the software work, and not to mention the people who were making the streaming work, and not to mention all of the people who were involved with your people getting with my people, and we'll talk about it.
Right.
Right. Yep. You know, Hollywood is very much a very, very complex beast. And but again, they're priced almost the same. I don't know that I'm going to complain about that. I would also say that if you need Logic Pro, or if you're going to use Logic Pro, it is worth this money. $5 a month? It's worth it.
Absolutely.
It is great software. Same thing with Final Cut Pro.
Yes. And I really think part of the reason why Apple has chosen to price both of these pro level apps for the iPad where they did was to make them much more approachable to a wider audience. So, for example, let's say you want to be an on-the-go YouTube video content creator. And so you want to have a really lightweight, portable, nimble production setup. So you're going to record video with your iPad, or excuse me, you're going to record video using the camera in your iPhone, feed it right into your iPad, edit your video on your iPad, upload it to YouTube from there, and you're off to the next thing. And you can do it for $5 a month or $50 a year. I think the price point is really smart.
I do too. And that, acknowledging that I am someone who has whined about subscription software for years. This probably makes sense in a lot of different ways, and it does especially for anyone who's actually going to use it. Now, I'm not convinced that it's going to be better than it is on my Mac. I expect that it will not be as good as it is on my Mac. You know, having a mouse.
Well,
having
multiple, it depends on your use case.
Sure. Yeah. For sure. If you're on the go, like you were talking about, it's not even a choice.
Yeah, and just to do a comparison here, with Final Cut Pro, you're talking about a professional level video editing app. I use LumaFusion, which is a professional level video editing app on the iPad. And it works so well, and I like it so much, that I don't do any video editing on my Mac, and I have no interest to do it on my Mac, because my experience on my iPad is so much better.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. I guess I better include a link to LumaFusion now, too.
I'm so comfortable with a mouse that when I've tried to edit videos, and I haven't done a lot. And I feel like you've probably done a lot more, immensely more than I have. But I always end up feeling more comfortable doing it on my Mac.
It makes it great that you have the we both have the option to edit video or audio on the platform where it works best for us.
Right. And I'm actually sort of criticizing myself there. I'm definitely being a little bit stuck in my ways when I'm feeling that, I think. But I also haven't used the software you were talking about, nor have I tried Final Cut Pro or Logic Pro on iPad, because they won't be released until the 23rd of May.
Right.
And there was one other little bit of controversy you mentioned. You were telling me that you can go from iPad to Mac, but you can't go from Mac to iPad. This is with Logic Pro.
Final Cut Pro.
Oh, Final Cut
Pro. And with Logic Pro, I'm actually not sure. I'm assuming it's the same. But yeah, with Final Cut Pro, you can take your projects from iPad to Mac, but you can't go from Mac to iPad. And that's bugging a lot of people, because they want a truly back and forth workflow. And I can absolutely appreciate that.
Yes.
I'm expecting that will change. But we are talking about the very, very first version of Final Cut on an iPad. And you're not going to have every single feature that you have in a more mature software product right at the start. So I figured that'll be a thing.
I would rather see that back and forth go with not all features supported than to not have that particular feature. I feel like you need to be able to go back and forth. And Logic Pro has something that Apple is calling round trip without a capital R. that where you can move projects between Logic Pro for Mac and iPad.
Okay, so it's just one way for Final Cut Pro. One thing Final Cut Pro on the iPad is doing that I think is really awesome, and actually would have been weird for them not to include it because LumaFusion has had this for a while, it's the ability to work with projects stored on an external drive without copying the content over to the iPad's internal storage.
And you can't do that?
You can.
You can.
It would be weird for that to have not been a thing since LumaFusion has offered that for a while. I actually have a little portable USB-C drive that I've had for a long time that has Droid LumaFusion interface? Stuff on it. Do I use what?
The Droid interface for it?
No, I'm a purist.
The Droid interface. No, not Android. No, the thing I sent you. The guy that built the USB reader. He built the USB interface.
Great. Now I have another link to include.
Yes.
No, I'm not using that because it won't fit into my iPad.
I just don't know. I think it would connect to your iPad. I think what we're not seeing in that video is the cord. Which then plugs
that
into
that goes to whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now that you put it that way, I guess I have to contact the guy and get him to give me a Star Wars Droid data port USB plug that I can use with my iPad. So thanks for spending my money.
You're welcome. I don't think he's selling this thing. I wish he would. What we're talking about is a fellow on the Instagrams, probably also on the TikToks, posted a device that he made that essentially replicates the movement of the Droid data port, you know, where everything spins mechanically
from Star Wars.
Yeah, it's super cool, and Jeff is going to include the link in the show notes. We have all kinds of fun show notes this time, don't we?
We do. And, you know, even if we had stopped with the impromptu part of the show, we still would have had a lot of really interesting links to include.
Yes, indeed. So I'm excited about Logic Pro for iPad, even though I'm not sure if I'm going to use it.
I'm very excited, but I'm not going to use it because LumaFusion, I'm already fully
invested in that. You're talking about Final Cut Pro. I'm talking about Logic Pro.
Oh, yeah. Logic Pro, I probably won't use because I don't need to do that level of audio editing on my iPad. However, if I do, I know it's right there and it's at a very reasonable price for me.
Yep. I do wonder if Apple isn't going to move the Mac version of these to a subscription too. Be interesting to see.
It wouldn't surprise me if it happens at some point.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise. Yeah. It will not surprise me when that happens. Oh, and I am missing an update.
Told you.
Yeah, you were right. Look at that. You were right yet again. Jeff, thanks for the fun discussion today, man.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And now you have some weekend Netflix. Because you can get all cut up on the history of swear words.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. Here, check this out. That is this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on that or question, you can write us at contextmachine.io. Find us on Post and Mastodon at Context Machine. Bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for us. I don't know. Anything else to add, Jeff?
I just want to know, is you is or is you ain't my baby?
I is.
All right, because the way you've been acting lately makes me doubt.
that's fair, and I feel like the only response I can have to that is...